Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris, and with me, as always, is my co-host, RJ Sines.
Pretty good.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and what level of friendship is it okay for you to fart in someone else's car?
I need you to answer this first.
Oh, man. I think you got to be pretty good friends because it's not always successful. And it's a pretty, sorry, I'm not trying to do Larry. It's a pretty sticky situation, if you know what I mean, because you're just sitting in stink.
Especially if it's a wet fart.
Hey.
Now I'm going to go ahead and say a solid never. There's no friends. They let you fart in their car. All right. That's just not a thing. Okay. Like I get it. Like farts happen. Like I feel like we could be even like first time friends. First day of friendship in each other's car. You fart, I go, oh, that's okay, you farted. There should never be a moment where it's okay for a human to say, I'm going to fart in this car for the other person to smell. That's not about friendship.
To me, it's about comfort, you know, like holding in a fart.
Oh, yeah, you could be comfortable day one. Who gives a crap? It's about respect.
No. No, it's about comfort because I know that holding in a fart takes a great deal of effort.
No.
And I don't want to exert that effort on my friend's butthole.
Have you ever sneezed? How much effort does it take to sneeze?
That's going to happen no matter what.
Exactly. Clenching your butthole, not hard. Don't fart.
Those were two very unrelated things.
No, you sneeze, you automatically clench every orifice in your body, eyes, ears, and the beehole.
That happens, though, that you don't control that.
No, it's so easy.
No, that just happens. The sneeze just happens.
Right.
You have to consciously think, oh, watch, squeeze your butthole right now.
No.
Exactly. Because it takes a lot of effort.
No, I just
And I'm not going to demand my friends to do that. I say,
but everyone listening on the count of three, one, two, three, you just did it. You had to do it.
Okay.
This is taking a very strange turn, but
we'll get more into it in the podcast and give you a definitive answer by the end of the show. Yeah. But today we are talking about Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Of course.
The answer to Seinfeld, some may say, or just whatever Larry David did next.
Yeah.
It's one of those two. But before we get into the goodness of that, RJ, do you have any news?
I have some fake news for all you liberal media elites out there.
What's the news?
So we here on the pod have done an episode on Bob's Burgers. It's one of our favorite animated shows. Well, guess what, Bob's Burger fans? Order up, because it was announced that in July 17th, 2020, Bob's Burgers will get its own feature film.
What?
Series creator Lauren Bouchard said this: "We're thrilled to be invited to bring Bob's Burgers to the big screen. We know the movie has to scratch every itch the fans of the show have ever had, but it also has to work for all the good people who've never seen the show. We also know it has to fill every itch of the screen with the colors and the sounds and the ever so slightly greasy texture of the world of Bob's. But most of all, it has to take our characters on an epic adventure. In other words, it has to be the best movie ever made, but no pressure, right?"
He said that?
Yeah. That's so awesome. I feel like that's you know, 100% the filmmaker, the artist's dilemma of you want it to be what you have, but also you want it to please everybody, the fans and the non-fans, and just be the best thing in the world. Mm. And I don't know, 2020, I can't believe they put that date out.
Yeah, right? That's pretty crazy.
Hey,
but maybe that's when they want to stop doing the show.
Shoot for the fences, right?
But here's the thing.
Why is it funny?
We're breaking ground here.
Oh.
Okay? Because TV shows.
All right, sounds good.
TV shows.
Never thought of it that way.
And movies are two different mediums.
Whoa, what?
This is something that the liberal media elite want to keep a secret.
Oh my gosh, Netflix is lying to us.
But here's, I don't think successfully there has been a transition from TV to film. Do you disagree or agree?
Gonna have to come back to that.
I know,
I guess.
Everyone's enjoying the TV series Rush Hour.
Fart.
I know everyone's enjoying the TV series Lethal Weapon.
Barf.
Like, seriously, but the only other thing I can think of is I know Arrested Development and Community were talked about. Six seasons of the movie! Like, that was a thing, but it never happened. Yeah. This will be groundbreaking. We're breaking ground on Bob.
Would you consider The Muppets a successful transition from TV to film?
No.
okay. That's fair. What about...
Because if that's what it is, then Bob's has to wait, like, what? Like, 20 years?
What do you mean?
Like, when was the TV show versus the movie version of The Muppets? It wasn't like...
Oh, they had a bunch of movies in the run of the 80s and 90s.
Right after the series?
The Muppet Show in the 60s and 70s?
Yeah, 60s and 70s, and then the 80s. They had to wait 20 years, right?
Oh, sure, but it's still a movie. It's not like a direct, like, year after transition.
I know, that's what I'm saying. This is the show will probably end in 2018, and then this movie's coming out in 2020. That's like 2 years. We don't have time to transition.
Well, I mean, even look at The Simpsons. They had a movie in between all their series run.
I have to go back.
Yeah. I know you do.
That's you're not wrong in that. But I feel that I'm still right.
Okay. I respect your opinion, but I see right through your bullshit. So
Having said that. that's really interesting. I hope it's really good.
Yeah, best of luck. I mean, that's all you can say from the 2017 perspective.
Did you like The Simpsons movie?
I did not like it.
In relation to your love of The Simpsons, the TV show?
No.
Yeah.
Like, I right? love falls, The Simpsons.
It falls pretty...
Yeah, I mean, it's just okay. I mean, it's something that... It's kind of like, in my opinion, just like every Star Wars film thing, like the Clone Wars or even the spinoffs or this Christmas special.
Stuff,
you gotta
yeah.
watch the Christmas special as a Star Wars fan just to say you know what it is and like have an understanding of it. But it's not that good.
Right, yeah, it was so
bad. Yeah, and The Simpsons wasn't bad by any stretch, but it's, you know, the series. It's,
I like The Simpsons.
It's a TV show. that's why it's there.
Easy, Larry. Okay, here's the question. Why is it funny?
No.
I'm joking, RJ. I know we're not there yet. I know we're not there. Okay, what news is
golly
happening?
That's it for the news? That's it. We're done.
Wow.
No more news forever.
Successful Bobs. Okay, well, that is a good thing. I'm excited about that. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, best of luck to you, Bobs.
And all the burgers. Here we go. So we are going to get into our topic, which is Curb Your Enthusiasm, a little brief history on the show. Right off the back of Seinfeld in 1999, Larry David created a one-hour special for HBO meant to be a mockumentary-style special that captured and parodied the nuances of his life living in Los Angeles. The scenes were written and the plot was established by Larry David beforehand, but the actors and dialogues in the scenes would be completely improvised. This unique take on the sitcom received unanimous critical and commercial praise, ultimately making HBO a permanent home for Curb Your Enthusiasm. This show is unlike any other show.
It really is. And what's interesting is, I think you even kind of gave it a little precursor tag of, oh, is it the answer to Seinfeld? So many of the Seinfeld fans found a new love for Seinfeld, like in Curb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the same mind, for those of you who don't know, co-creator Larry David for Seinfeld is Curb Your Enthusiasm Larry David. And you look at this show and it's so different than Seinfeld, but there's still that thing at the very core of it that you kind of love Seinfeld for the same reasons.
Yeah.
Just because Larry David's mind can just pinpoint all those little bits. And it's had an amazing following. I mean, the crazy thing to me is 1999, year after Seinfeld.
Right.
Literally the year after. Larry David's back on the horse.
Well, see, the interesting thing is, I don't think a lot of people know that Larry David almost completely left Seinfeld. In the middle of Seinfeld's run, he took a big break and pulled back a lot and wasn't very present in the writer's room, and then came back towards the later seasons and had his standing in with the rest of the show, which I'm curious, and I think that clear history might be Larry David's wondering, what if I actually did walk away from Seinfeld because it became the biggest thing ever?
Yeah.
Like, what if I was known as the idiot who wasn't a part of Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Which is the plot of Clear History.
Basically,
sort of. But, so, yeah, I think for Larry David, I think there needs to be some newness and some freshness in his life. So, immediately after that, he had the next show that
he was
ready
to
do.
Yeah, he had the next thing lined up, ready to go. And I don't know if he planned on making it be a TV show success, but it went on for 8 seasons, you know, until 2007. And the weirdest thing is the indefinite hiatus and now revival 10 years later of the show, just picking it right up,
right.
season 9. And, you know, some might say that, oh, this is just playing off of revival fever that everyone has for TV nowadays. But what's even more funny is Larry David was spoofing revival fever before revival fever was in full swing. Back in 2006, he was calling
it. Doing the reunion.
He was doing a whole season about the Seinfeld reunion and how he never wanted to do it, but then he ends up actually doing it just to get
by
his wife
never
back.
Doing it, yeah.
Yeah. And so he's leagues ahead of people comedically and even just the industry. I think he's, you know, and it's such a meta kind of show anyways, but we got to break down, you know, so much of this show already.
Absolutely.
We got to get into why it's funny, Ben.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us, why is it funny, RJ?
Yeah. Curb is funny for so many of the reasons that Seinfeld is funny. As I had said previously, I mean, after all, it does share the same creator, but unlike Seinfeld, Curb gets right to the point. The main protagonist is one of the most terrible and narcissistic humans on the planet, and we find ourselves rooting for him.
As played by himself.
As played by, yeah. Curb takes on a whole genre of Hollywood mocking itself with hyper self-awareness and precision. Larry David excels at pinpointing the tiniest of human errors and mistakes, making his own life a spectacle of a social how-not-to guide.
That's pretty good.
I thought so. That's
I can appreciate all those words you just said. Man, this show, like, mixed in with its improvisational attitude that it has, it really can be deadly. Like,
and you and just to take a whole just precursor step, the improvisational element of the show, not only is it super unique, you almost wouldn't guess it because of how natural the actors dialogue with one another.
Yeah.
And the scenes that are outlined. So the scenes are outlined. You say, oh, character comes in for this reason. The character exits for this reason. And you just go off that.
Yeah.
And these scenes that come out of it, I mean, you'd think the lines are written.
Yeah, no. I mean, A, it takes a big level of professionalism from the actors. But also, I was reading that it takes seven or eight takes per scene, which is like really high for television, especially television that needs to be, you know, out every
chopped,
week.
Yeah.
Like, so.
In 30-minute episodes, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's tough. You got to be concise. You got to be professional. And I don't know. That's just pretty unique.
Yeah. It's, yeah, completely unique. I don't know anything else like it. So, having that being the precursor to this show is one of a kind. I just don't know if, I mean, I think in a lot of ways you were saying earlier, it is the answer to Seinfeld, but not in the way that anyone expected it to be. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know, the way that Larry David was able to take the core of how humanity loves the terribleness of its own self, just like how we like to smell our own farts in our friend's car.
Yeah.
And we want to root for that, even when it gets worse. Like, he has just found an audience that will just follow him blindly everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just been, I mean, the show is so well done.
Yeah. Where Seinfeld, I feel like, lives more in not a heightened sense of reality, but more like just a campy sense of reality.
Yeah.
Or good. Maybe just the 90s were just campy in general.
Yeah.
But I think Larry David brings it really into the nitty-gritty with Curb.
Denim.
A lot less denim. But I also, the stuff that he's going through and the things that he's dealing with aren't like, I left a book at the library and I don't know.
What are the rules of left behind books? It's like,
yeah,
I ripped a doll off of my friend's daughter's doll head. Ripped the head off of my friend's daughter's doll, and now I have to replace it, even though I like threw it away and cut the hair and all this stuff.
Or even just simple social interactions, like I asked this guy to do me a favor, and he's a professional, but I didn't tip him, and now he's upset at me and there's like this nuanced relationship. It's very more gritty.
Which, by the way, one out of three Curb jokes are Larry giving or not giving
money.
Just tips. And just tips.
Yeah.
I don't get the system. Why do you got to tip people? What? I mean, you did the job.
I always feel like he ends up losing like twice as much money as if he would have just tipped him.
Well, and the funny thing too is like he's already dropping like hundreds of dollars at like fancy restaurants for his friend.
Sure,
and then
yeah.
He's got to complain about like an extra like 20 or something. It's just so ridiculous.
But that's the show.
That is
ridiculous.
The show. Something that I think is interesting about the Larry David that brings to this. I mean, and it's kind of touched on in a lot of ways too. He makes mention of how George in Seinfeld was like him. This is like George unleashed.
Yeah, right.
It's like George raw.
It's the George show. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
And Larry, there's something as a comedian where you have to be likable in order for everyone to enjoy your performance. And Larry isn't like super likable, but he's got that like just goofy face, and his voice is so just like Brooklyn uppity catchy that like you just are, you know, kind of attracted to him in a way. Just kind of like, yeah, I like this guy. Like, I hang out with him.
Yeah.
And he always is, even though in the dumbest, and he makes the stupidest mistakes. The whole show is basically Larry either being stubborn as an ass, making a decision that is going to cost him some friendship or something, or getting unlucky because he's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the show.
Yeah. It's all those moments of Seinfeld that are uncomfortable. So when George goes into the therapist's office and can't talk about his problems because his zipper on his jacket is broken, and he's frustrated about that. He can't even get past that.
Yeah.
And then that actually makes the therapist like super frustrated.
Exactly.
Those moments where you're looking at George and going, stop, you're an idiot.
Stop.
Just stop.
Stop.
Stop talking or caring about what you're doing.
Oh, I know.
That is Curb. That is
every single episode.
Almost every moment.
And I don't know if we had a chance to talk about Silicon Valley.
No, not yet.
Another HBO show, ironically mm-hmm. enough.
That is
I think
ironic.
They've taken some notes from Curb in that a majority of the show is Thomas Middleditch just doubling down on bad decisions. People saying, no, don't do that. And he's like,
yeah.
I'm going to do it anyways.
I'm going to do it twice.
Yeah. And that's just all of Larry. But Larry does such a good job setting up the rules of, I don't stop and chat. I'm not going to stop and chat. Someone comes up on the street, say, hey, I'm going to keep walking. I don't have time for stop and chat. Yeah. And so then there comes a conflict when he tries to just walk past someone and they're just telling
him.
Yeah,
there's an episode where he's over holding the elevator for people because this woman that he held the elevator for got ahead of him in the doctor's office, and his appointment was for earlier than hers, but she got in front of him. So he's like, that's it. My policy is I'm done with holding elevators for people. And then there's like this lady that he offended, and she's looking for the elevator, but he doesn't know it's her. And so he's like pretending like he's going to push the button, but he's letting the doors close. And he's like, oh, I didn't know it was you. Oh, no. He just like, he'll shoot himself in all of his feet.
Exactly. Every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ends up ending accidentally being super racist in some situations. I think in earlier seasons, he sees Wanda Sykes, who's like just a reoccurring, just hilarious character on the show. And he says just something stupid. Like, this is a stupid mistake. Again, he rolls in there and he's like, I'd know that ass anywhere. Or like something that. Just like, who knows what that's supposed to mean. And she takes it super offensively
right.
And like comes over his house and like yells at him in front of his wife, Cheryl. And they get super mad at him.
And
I know you anywhere.
It becomes about like what, like female feature does he prefer? Is he like into butts?
A
like
butt guy,
what does that mean about him? And he's like, what? No, come on.
I'm not a butt guy. Oh, no, I'm not into butts.
Gosh.
Yeah. And
it's such a friggin' all over the place show.
A thing that Larry David as a writer does really well is also the lexicon, the terminology. So like I said, he's got the stop and chat. He also has how, tips work. Leon comes up with weird terminology in the new season. He comes up with lamping. I'm just lamping, Larry. I'm just lamping.
What is lamping?
It's like just chilling or being cool. was like stupid.
That guy is a like really unique character.
Oh yeah, Leon's amazing.
JB Smooth.
JB Smooth.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, JB Smooth.
Yeah, that actor is ridiculous. He's also in Clear History, which is really funny.
Yeah, so anyways, Larry David's ability to bring just these unique words and how the world works just through his perspective,
yeah.
I think is so unique, and that's something that him and Jerry both yeah. kind of do.
Oh, absolutely. They will like harp on a way of saying things. Like, for instance, in the reunion episode, Larry David is accused of leaving his glass on a piece of wood, mm-hmm. which leaves a ring stain on the wood. And instead of being like, hey, did you do this or something? He goes and he's trying to find the culprit because it's not him that did it, but he's being blamed for it and he can't have that. So he goes and tries to find it and he's asking people, do you respect wood?
Yeah.
Like, why not just ask that question? Like, hey, did you leave that ring stain? But like, I respect wood. So is you that disrespects wood?
Exactly.
Like, come
yeah.
on. Like the way he's saying it is what makes it really funny.
Yeah. Something we can get into is these characters. So wide cast of characters. Sometimes they have bigger roles in some seasons, sometimes have smaller. Richard Lewis, his best friend, other comedian. It seems like poor Richard's always getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Just gets ignored, gets left behind.
Or they're always mad at each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, they end up fighting over something. Larry's hesitant to give him a kidney in one season. You know, he ends up costing him like two or three girlfriends just because he embarrasses them. Jeff, who's played by Jeff Garland, his mm-hmm. his manager.
Jeff Green in the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Jeff Green in the show. So solid. His wife, Susie, just ridiculous.
She is tough.
I don't understand how in each episode there seems to be like a refreshing of like, okay, we're back to square zero of nobody hates Larry. Because by the end of the episode, especially Susie, almost like always hates him, like so, yeah. so much. What the hell are you thinking, Larry? You're the worst person ever, ever, you stupid prick! Like just screaming
yeah,
at him.
Yeah, she's very loud Brooklyn mad.
Oh my gosh, real, she got some real Brooklyn anger. And by the next episode, everything's fine. Oh, Larry, you and Cheryl should come over for dinner tonight. Yeah. You guys come over for dinner.
Well, I think she really likes Cheryl.
Yeah.
It's that classic, like, our husbands are friends, so me and the wife are friends, but I don't actually like this guy.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Another really good character is Marty Funkhauser.
Yes.
You know that guy? He's played by Bob Einstein.
Yeah, Bob Einstein.
And he's also Arrested Development. He's the, like...
The surrogate. The surrogate camera guy for Jeffrey Tambor.
I feel like he plays a really, really good deadpan.
Oh, yeah.
But in Curb, they're friends, and there's an episode where Marty Funkhauser's dad dies, and he gets buried with Larry's 9-iron.
Yes.
And Larry's like,
it's my 9-iron.
He wants it back, even though it's literally in the casket.
Open casket
in
funeral.
In the like corpse's hands.
Oh my god.
And he wants it back. He tries to take it out of the casket.
And they find out. Larry always gets ousted. He can't get away with anything. There's nothing
way.
He gets away
no
with.
No way.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. And Marty's like the most loyal of friends. Again, I don't know why his friends are like continuously
right?
friends with him. He always ends up wronging them, especially Marty Funkhauser. He like things with his dad dying, his mom dying. He steals the flowers from her grave. His sister who has like mental issues, like he ends up messing that up too.
Oh my gosh.
And Marty Funkhauser at one point is like, yeah, Larry, you're like my best friend. Of course, I understand. And Larry's like, yeah, my that ain't best friend. You're not my best friend. Why are you saying that? Like, of course we are. We're like best friends.
Oh my gosh. It's the like it's the miscommunication trying to convince each other that this show just thrives on.
Exactly. And I mean, and again, to throw in like all the other random celebrities that come up. I mean, we just talked about Marty Short. Two great times he comes up in the show. He runs into Jiminy Glick on the street. Sorry, not Jiminy Glick. He runs into Marty Short on the street, like in season 2 or 1
okay.
or something. and he starts talking about his new show, Jiminy Glick.
That's so funny.
And they start talking about the character, and Larry does a pretty funny impression of him.
Yeah.
But then the even funnier thing was in season 9, the new season, episode 1, where Jimmy Kimmel foists Carrie Bradshaw, his assistant, Carrie Brownstein, on him. Not Carrie Bradshaw.
Carrie Bradshaw. That's Miranda. A mixture of Terry Bradshaw and Carrie.
Anyways, so Larry has a bad personal assistant foisted on him by Jimmy Kimmel.
But that's another, like, curb terminology.
Curb terminology.
What is a foist?
It's like just pushed on him,
like
abandoned.
Forced.
Oh yeah, here, you should have this assistant. She used to work for me, now take her, even though she's terrible.
I've been foisted.
And he foists the assistant on Susie, of course.
Yeah.
She like freaks out. But he's talking to Kimmel later, and he's like, hey, that assistant, you know, he has a pretty good foist. She was pretty bad. She was the worst. And Jimmy Kimmel responds says, oh, yeah, thanks, man. Gosh, she was the worst. You know, Martin Short actually foisted her on me.
That's so good.
So perfect. But, yeah, his connections to almost everyone in L.A. kind of knows who he is and doesn't
Absolutely.
Know who he is. And the characters just keep reoccurring and popping in at the best and worst times.
I feel like I love the mixture of, like, so they'll have at the same time, like, Richard Kind and Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller playing himself, Richard Kind playing a wacky character.
Right.
I love that. I love that they can bring both of that in, you
that
know?
That universe. It's such a weird balance, too, because a lot of the main characters aren't playing themselves. And then you get characters coming in, like you said, Richard
yeah.
Kind, who is just Larry's cousin.
Uh-huh.
But I love that blend, the Ben Stiller, and then eventually, not David Schrader.
David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer. Mel Brooks is playing himself.
Yeah.
The parody of himself, nonetheless. But so many of these guys just come in at the perfect, perfect moments.
Which is probably, like, especially David Schwimmer, that's like both of them are coming off these massive 90s successful TV shows.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's
such a time and place kind of thing. That's why it's funny. Now you go back and you watch a series, you're like, oh my gosh, like, what's David Schwimmer doing on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Right, yeah.
But that was it. He was the it guy in 2004. He was the guy to bring on your show.
That's nuts.
And then not to like later seasons, you get J.B. Smoove, who is... I think he's opposite Larry.
Yeah.
He's loyal. He's almost predictable. I would say he's pretty predictable. And he's happy to help, and he's off the wall ridiculous, but
and in the same way, very verbal processor. Both of them, like, they that's what they do, is they'll just sit and talk and be like, I don't want to try and do a J.B. Smoove impersonation because it's just so over the top.
Yeah.
But they just conversate and just get like deeper into the minutia of dumb stuff.
Hands down, the best conversation they have, I think, might even be one of the first episodes with Leon,
yeah.
J.B. Smoove. And Larry, he's at a doctor's office. And as he's walking out, there's this white supremacist dude like in the doctor's office, like looks at him, he's like, what are you looking at, Jew boy? And like says like super racist things to him. And Larry's like, ugh, and like just runs out. And he tells Leon, and Leon's like, you gotta get up in that ass, Larry. You gotta get up in that ass. He's like, get up in that ass? Yeah, you gotta get in that ass, Larry. Get in, close the door behind you, and spray paint F you in that ass. And they're just going back and forth about
weirdest.
What does that mean, get up in that ass? Like, what is that? And that's just the silliest thing ever. I could watch that interaction again and again and again.
Oh my gosh. It's a good show.
Yeah, it's solid. Some of the best moments, I think, come from, again, like we said, Larry's misfortune. We could see that on replay again and again and again. But the show really gets like a hyper awareness because it is in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hands down, I got it. I think it's season 4. It's so many seasons now. But Mel Brooks wants him to be in the producers, wants Larry to be
in the producers on Broadway.
In the producers on Broadway with David Schwimmer. And the whole season is just, you know, running jokes about, oh, he's kind of bad, he's not good dancing, he's not good for getting his lines. Eventually the show night comes and he ends up kind of bombing, and it's like kind of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? come to find out, Mel Brooks is like cheersing his wife's like, we're never gonna have to do this play again, and he like he's producering his own producer show.
Oh my gosh,
trying to
so
play
good.
Off the failure of it. But then Larry ends up totally getting it, and then you get the timeless dun, 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 which by the way, that's like such a great tune.
It is.
For everything.
Some may say we're going to talk about it in Wacky Facts.
Ooh.
Oh, teaser.
Teaser alert. There's a Twitter account like Seinfeld 2000, and they just post things that are like, you know, what if Seinfeld was on TV still now, yeah. And other jokes about that. And something they'll do, especially with politics or like random things, is like take video clips and throw in the Curb Your Enthusiasm mix. Like they had like Paul Manafort, who just got indicted for, yeah, you know, money laundering from the Mueller investigation. And it's the reporter from like, you know, last year's interview. She's like, so does Mr. Trump have any affiliation with Russia funds overseas? He's like, that's what it said. And he's just kind of like staring again. He's like, that's what I said.
So good.
He's like just totally skipping over himself. But that jingle is just so perfect for like the cut to just blank,
yeah,
staring. This sucks. I hate my life.
I feel like it's. I don't know if it's equally as iconic, but like, so Seinfeld's got the bass.
Yeah,
but this,
it's more lighthearted.
Yeah, this feels more like it's about some dopey man.
Yeah,
like the big tuba of like.
You know, like following like a 300-pound man down the sidewalk.
No, I mean, it speaks to the personality of the man that we're following. That this guy is just a dope. He's just a doofus.
He's a dope, and something that I think he really uses to his advantage is playing the dope, but of course being extremely self-aware, extremely intellectual in his writing and his design. I mean, I talked about the producer's season, but there's so many seasons that have these amazing running gags throughout the season, or a singular plot line that kind of carries along one whole really big joke idea. One of the best seasons is the Seinfeld reunion season. This whole season, just Larry reluctant to do Seinfeld reunion, as he always has been. But then gets the idea, oh, I could get my wife back if I cast her in the Seinfeld reunion.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to convince everyone, Michael Richards, Jason Alexander, Jerry, and Julie Dreyfus, and just to see them all interact like on and off screen. It's just, it's funny. I mean, they're talking about like, well, you know, it's like the reunion show is going to be like the finale that we didn't get because the finale kind of sucked. And Larry would be like, oh, the finale was pretty good. That was a good finale.
Yeah.
I mean, I said what I wanted to say. And so it's just so meta in that sense, especially for Seinfeld fans. Like, they're speaking into the things that we think are so ridiculous about Seinfeld. And it's like the reunion that didn't happen did happen.
Right.
I think there's a clip on YouTube where someone took all the footage
and made an actual Seinfeld
episode. Because, yeah, if you spread it all out, it actually
But see,
is.
That's what is so good about Curb. They take, like, the ethos of Seinfeld and interject it into the actual show.
Right.
So that's the one where, do you respect Wood? Like, that's where that comes, which is such a Seinfeld situation.
I know.
Same thing with him and Jerry are having a conversation, and they were talking about having said that as, like, a thing that people do when they say something really mean, but they want to negate what they just said.
Yeah.
So they can be like, you're an idiot. Having said that, I really respect you.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, that's such a Seinfeld thing.
Yeah.
But that's what the Seinfeld actors are interacting with in real life.
Right.
Which is Curb, fake life.
Which is ironic reality life.
But yeah, it's like they're putting on a reunion and their personal lives are also mirroring the show. Genius.
Yeah.
Like, that's so good.
Yeah, and there's so many times, even in, you know, earlier seasons where he's just trying to connect with Julie Louis Dreyfus or Jason Alexander,
yeah,
and can't meet up with him because, you know, he's a meetup, I come to you, you come to me, like just stupid Larry stuff.
Minutia. I love it. But it's also really good to see all those people back together.
I know.
As much as it wasn't actually a reunion, it's good to see those personalities.
And that's where, and this is where I don't, they haven't said this, but I feel like the meta, like, kind of meaning behind the Seinfeld reunion season is like, this is the Seinfeld reunion episode.
Right.
This whole season is what I wish could have been the final season of Seinfeld in a lot of ways. Like, it's so many of the same kinds of things, but just that next level of hyper-awareness and, like, you know, crazy reality stuff, and yet you get that familiarity with the characters, you get little glimpses here and there of what it could be like, but it's just that next transcending level. So if there's Seinfeld fans out there that are like, ah, I hate the finale, go watch season 7 of Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's your Seinfeld finale.
There you go.
Guaranteed. You'll be so satisfied.
Guaranteed. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of money you're putting on black.
I didn't put any money on it. I just guarantee it.
Yeah, that's what a guarantee is.
Money?
Yeah. That's what we have for Curb, right? Do you have anything else?
I'm enjoying season 9.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I also feel like, okay, well, maybe let's get into that. Do you feel like season 9 is necessary?
I think just based on how Larry David can develop a deep meaning in a full season, I think this season has the ability to be a really powerful critique over re-adaptations and reboots of TV. Because, you know, your 10-year hiatus, why are you coming back, Larry, unless you feel like you have something to say? I mean, even the reunion episode, the reunion season, he spells out very clearly why he does and doesn't want to do this. And so for me, I go, I'm excited because I think Larry has some really cool, funny jokes to have at the expense of, you know, Hollywood cashing in on, you know, Will and Grace.
You think he's got some tricks up his sleeve?
Oh, always.
Excellent. Well, then I'm excited. Yeah. I think it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Enjoying it so far.
Yeah. How many episodes in are we?
Four. Yeah. Well, at the time we're recording, probably 6 now, 8. Oof, I have no idea.
We will find out when we find out.
We'll give
out
a full review once the season's over.
We'll get the math down. We'll divide the pie integers.
Numbers exist.
But since we've gone into math, that means it's time for Beth Wacky Fact.
Wacky.
That's right. It's time for Ben's Wacky Facts. This is the part of the show where I, Ben, say some wacky facts, and the critics from Wacky Tomatoes give a corresponding rating based on its overall wackiness. You ready for this, RJ?
As long as you're ready.
All right, here we go. The theme music for Curb Your Enthusiasm is a song called Freilich by Luciano Michelini.
Oh, I knew that.
It was originally used in a bank commercial, which got stuck in Larry's head. And that's how it became the theme music for Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Isn't that just all of life, though?
Isn't that just all of, like, the way that Larry David finds success is going through his personal life and going, this might be good.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reunion episode that he writes on Curb Your Enthusiasm is based on, like, all the things that have happened in Curb Your so far.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Oh, so
I love it.
Yeah, that's
it's
really
just a
funny
jingle that he liked.
Hey, I got a jingle stuck in my head.
But to his credit, it's really catchy.
Oh, yeah.
You can't watch an episode and walk away not going, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and even like the little things like put in like in the middle, I think it's still part of the same song, but just like, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom, boom. Like just the little like parts of the musical interlude. Yeah, all of that. Anyways, very wacky. Critics love that. They're giving you a solid 93% to start off. Congratulations.
Excellent.
Can only go downhill from here.
Yep. Here is wacky fact number 2. Larry David and Richard Lewis, who has a recurring role in the show as himself, went to the same summer camp together at the age of 13.
Wow.
After that, they lost contact. And then 15 years later, they joined the same comedy club circuit in New York City.
Really?
Isn't that interesting? So they were like bunkmates in Camp Winnipenega. And then all of a sudden they show up in the same comedy club. It's like, hey!
Are you Richard Lewis?
We whittled together one time in the forest.
How funny would that be? Like, somebody's name before they're famous is associated to a random camp memory. Oh, Peter Holmes from camp.
Yeah, right?
That's so funny.
Like, can you, who's that person in your life that you
haven't seen since summer camp?
Haven't seen since summer camp.
I don't even know if I can remember their name.
I have a solid Parker Crehan.
Parker, if you're out there, give us a call. We miss you. Are you famous?
Yeah. We went to baseball camp together.
Baseball camp?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
All right. Well, it's not too bad because it was fun. Me and Parker had a good time.
All right. Jeez.
He's all right.
Yeah.
So, what do the critics say about Parker Crehan? What do the critics got to say, RJ?
The critics are giving Parker a solid 94%, just 1% more than last time.
Yes, excellent.
They said, do you know anyone from your own personal life that could be in this category? Well, we just answered that, ironically.
Yeah, wow. It's pretty intense.
That's pretty intuitive of them.
All right, here is wacky fact number 3. It's a big one, so get ready.
All right.
In 2003, a man named Juan Catalan was arrested for murder in Los Angeles. He repeatedly professed his innocence and asked even to take a lie detector request, and a request that the police denied. He had an alibi. He said, I swear, at the time of the murder, I was at Dodger Stadium with a little girl watching the Dodgers versus the Braves, but his lawyer was unable to find any of the Dodger Vision footage or Fox footage that had been subpoenaed.
Whoa.
So this guy is on, he's convicted of murder, says I was at Dodger Stadium. There was nothing to prove that he was actually there. However, he discovered that there was another source of crowd footage. Curb Your Enthusiasm had an episode, The Carpool Lane, in 2004 that had been filmed at Dodger Stadium that night.
What?
Although, what's his actual name? Juan did not make the final cut of the show. His lawyer was finally able to find him and his daughter in the outtakes of the show.
What?
And determined from the timestamps on the tapes this guy could not have been the killer. When he was told that his show had released a wrongfully accused man from prison and a trial that could have led to the death penalty, Larry David commented, I tell people that now I've done one decent thing in my life, albeit totally inadvertently.
That is so perfect.
So a man was, like, saved from the death penalty due to outtakes of Curb.
Bum, 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 bum. Da, da,
da, da, do you think we'll visit this storyline in season 9?
Something like it. Hopefully. I think it's very easy to recreate that. And Larry,
isn't
like...
Isn't that wacky, though?
Oh, my gosh.
That's nuts.
That is really, like...
And I love that Larry David owns it like he did anything.
That's so perfect. Like, that would only happen to him, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's got to use that in some way. Oh my gosh, he's totally gonna use that like a Newman like character is like, please, you gotta help me.
I'm innocent, I swear.
There's gotta be some footage from the behind the scenes of Seinfeld. Yeah. And he's like, I'll look, I guess. And he's like hesitant to look at it, but like he ends up just missing it, even though he like is the footage is up one day. He's like, oh, he's right there. And then
and
big
then he
guy's
gets
in
the
jail.
Death penalty.
Yeah. He's like,
I'm sorry. Dun, dun, dun. Isn't that crazy, though?
That is so freaking crazy.
That's like Jack the Ripper level Charlie Chaplin crazy.
Yeah, I would put that very on par just personally, but it's not up to me. It's up to the critics.
What do they got?
Wait, actually, hold on. Full stop. How else are you not able to prove that you weren't a murderer?
You gotta have an alibi.
How is that not, like... What? How terrible is our criminal justice system where they can't figure that out and they have to rely on, like, outtakes
Fox.
From Larry David?
Yeah, dude. I don't know, man. I bet it was just, like, pretty crazy circumstances. And so your alibi, like, but that's the thing. If you go to a sporting event, that's a big chunk of your time that's missing from life. And unless you're on the Jumbotron, there's no proof of you being at that sporting event.
Was he framed, do you think? Was he set up?
There's no details.
If it was a mistake, that's pretty lame.
A mistake? What do you mean a mistake?
Like a mistake in the forensic, like, toxicologists or the people who are, like, examining the evidence.
I don't think that was it. No, it's...
Is it a setup?
It has to be... Yeah, somebody knew he's going to a Dodger game, so I'm going to kill the wife at this time. I mean, I'm not a murderer, but if I was...
But, like, if I was...
So that's a big chunk of time that's missing from your life. And if you're not on the Jumbotron, you're not there.
You snooze, you lose.
And he probably had cheap seats. Who knew that Curb was going to be up in the cheap seats filming?
That's nuts.
And that's so nuts that it's like, oh, he wasn't even in... the show, he was in the outtakes. That's crazy.
So this isn't even like, oh, we're in post-production. This is like after the season had like aired. And they're like, oh, do you have any footage from this? And they're like, well, we got rid of all of our footage except for the outtakes.
This happened in 2000. So he was convicted in 2003. Wait. Okay, well, the episode aired in 2004. It was filmed in 2003 when he was after he was convicted.
Okay,
and so, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is like a very recent story. He was only very recently let out of prison because
oh really?
Because it was like we checked the actual television broadcast, none of him. We checked the stadium's broadcast that they do on the Jumbotron.
Right,
there's none of him there, and that's when they went. So we can't prove that you're at the thing. And it was like years later that he went, wait, they filmed an episode of Curb. And his lawyer's like, for reals? Like film? And then they went into the outtakes and found it.
Well, what's crazy is if it was that year, they might have still had the full thing of footage, not just like separate outtakes. Right. You know what I mean? And that could have been even better. But just so random, that's like, oh, well, we have the bonus DVD with outtakes. We could check the outtakes. Maybe it's on there. And it totally was. Which is crazy town. Yeah.
Nuts.
Critics agree. That's a 99%.
Yes! Very,
you did the opposite.
I knew it.
You went up from...
I know I did. I could feel it coming.
Wow. Good for you, man.
In the air tonight. Yeah. Thank you. Wax. Facts, you've been knocked out of the park.
Thank you. Wax. Wax, even.
Yeah, I have no more words after that.
Go home and fall asleep.
Well, that's all the craziness we have for Wacky Facts. So it's time for a hashtag whale mail of the week.
Give me an email or give me death. This week's whale mail reads, hey, Ben and RJ, where do you guys get your comedic inspiration? I like to know where people find their inspiration. It helps us learn from our past. Love, Dana.
What helps you learn from your past? Where
inspiration? Where other people's get? Other I guess. I guess saying it's where other people get their inspiration. I guess. I mean, it makes sense.
Awesome. Who's that email from?
Dana.
Dana Carvey. His son, also named Dava. Dana. Where do you get your inspiration, RJ?
Okay. If we're gonna choose one, you can choose two. I'm gonna say.
Your dog.
My dead dog. Looney Tunes.
Okay.
And if we're going strictly from like early inspiration, Muppets.
Yeah.
Muppets and Looney Tunes is like my bread and butter. I mean, obviously nowadays it's like more sophisticated, like, you know.
Butter and
carrot
and
top.
Caviar. Carrot top. I'd have to say for sure Seinfeld. I mean, that's just...
Even early on?
Yeah, I mean, that's just like innate within my DNA. It's just that show.
I thought you were going to say like Ace Ventura. For sure. I don't know. Just childhood. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, no, for sure. Jim Carrey is...
Major pain.
That's majorly painful. Jim Carrey, for sure, as just an over-the-top... Like, I mean, I remember, those movies, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, like, all of his flicks were just, like, watching just a man's body be set on fire in a jokingly way. That guy, like, just his facial expressions and his movements, I wanted to be him.
Yeah. That's good inspiration. That works for me.
But also Seinfeld, just the simplicity of looking at everyday life and making a joke out of it, that's my favorite.
Yeah. Do you feel, kind of sticking to the Curb thing, do you feel like Curb is a good, like, next step for Seinfeld fans?
I don't know.
Like, if that's your inspiration.
If you're a traditional Seinfeld fan, I don't know if you're going to love Curb because it gets into pretty nitty-gritty stuff.
It's a good chance you will, though.
But no, yeah, for sure. It has the same ideas of the of that show. It's just a little different.
Yeah. No,
it's like, well, I guess if you love George.
Well, like, if Seinfeld is your inspiration, like, obviously I feel like that's something that would also follow.
Yeah, the Elaine, the Kramer aspect of Seinfeld, those aren't really represented in Curb. No. You know? There's no, like, wacky physicalness in Curb. Besides maybe Larry.
A little bit.
But it's very minimal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, just interesting. Well, thanks for writing in, Dana Carvey. And anyone else wants to send an email in, then it works.
Did you see that movie about the Dana Carvey show?
Yeah.
There's a doc on it.
I was going to report on that for news, but instead I did the Bob's Burgers thing.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm stoked on it. Yeah. I mean, we try to limit our news to just one important piece, so maybe next week I will. Who knows? TBD, Whalers.
Yeah, no, I would love to even cover it, because it's just a crazy thing that happened. Or maybe just go watch it.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Okay, RJ, if somebody is wanting to listen to our show, where do they go?
Well, you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. Also, Patreon, you know the drill, folks. You're giving us money, we're giving you some sweet, sweet content. Also, feel free to tell a friend, share a link, like us on Facebook. You know, our Twitter page is at WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? Give us a like, give us a follow. Tell your friends, telegraph, tell anyone you know.
Yep.
Anyways, email us again at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. Send us anything, we read it. Death threats, social security number requests, even if you're looking for footage from yourself at a Dodger game back in 2003, we'll try to help you out best we can. Just send us that email and we'll read it.
Yeah, if you want to find RJ on Twitter, you can look for at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to find Ben at Twitter, you can find him at Please Find Me Parker, what's your face over your last name? Parker Crehan. Oh, I almost had the callback. I almost did.
Thank you, Ben Sound, for our intro theme song. Thank you, Wolfpack, for our outro music. Thank you listening to these words currently. You are our inspiration.
Yeah.
We're going to leave you with what we always leave you with, and that is, comedy is all about
pretty good timing.
Pretty timing good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why do you keep doing that?
What do you mean?
Doing the yeah thing. I've just noticed that lately.
It's like a, you know, like a little trash can hit at the end of the age show.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I'm editing the podcast. I just feel like maybe you shouldn't do that. It's just annoying.
It's like they know it's done. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's not that funny. Like, no one's sticking around for the end of the podcast. I think
it's not meant
idea.
To be funny. It's just show ender.
So then why do it? No one needs to hear
it. Because you got to end the show some way.
Look, if you're going to die on this hill, like, fine. But I don't really think that you need to be that insistent upon it.
I mean, do you respect a good show ender?
Yeah, but that's not a good show ender.
Yes, it is.
No. Look, if you...
Yeah.
It's 100% not a good show ender. No one thinks it's a good show ender.
That's not true.
Yeah, and I legitimately don't think that I want to keep doing this if you think that that's a good show ender.
You don't want to do the podcast
I don't want to do it because of the yeah. Because of the yeah. It's not worth it. It's stupid, and you know what? You can keep your show ender. I'm out. It's done.
Well, how is this productive? Yeah.